This is my simplified title, just valuing crop pollination. I'm mainly presenting a new method for how to do that. And this is a collaborative project I'm working on with Brian Gross at UC Berkeley. So about 3/4 of the leading global food crops require animal pollination. And this is done primarily by honeybees, of course, but also by hundreds of native bee species. And the purpose of this study is to answer the question, how can we value native bee pollination economically? And that's a subset of a larger question, how do we value ecosystem services? So services like carbon storage and water filtration are difficult to value because they're external to the market, which means they don't have a price, so we can't just value them using the traditional method of price times quantity. So the goals of this study are to evaluate the existing methods for putting an economic value on native bee pollination and then to develop a new and improved method. The data that I used to value pollination came from a study that I've done on watermelon pollination. This study was done in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, where that red square is. And I measured flower visitation rate and per visit pollen deposition at 23 farms of watermelon. And then I developed a Monte Carlo simulation that estimates total pollen deposition per taxon by putting together these two forms of data. So for this study, I'm looking at total pollen deposition by honeybees and then by all native bees together as a group. 65% of the farms in this study either rented or owned honeybees, and we found a total of 46 native bee species also pollinating watermelon. So in brief, I found that native bees do most of the pollination in this system. If you just look at the fraction of all pollen deposited on stigmas averaged across farms, 62% of that pollen was deposited by native bees and 38% by honeybees. Then if you compare that to the pollination requirements of the plant, we found that native bees alone fully pollinate 91% of those farms. So there are two main methods that are used, current methods for valuing native bee pollination. All of them, including the new method that I'll present, are talking about valuing the producer side of value. So that's saying how much money is this native bee pollination worth to the people who are producing the crops. There's another side to valuation, which is the consumer value. That's the money saved by consumers by having less expensive fruits and vegetables due to pollination. That is not part of anything I'm talking about today. So the first method is called replacement value. And this is basically the cost of using some alternative means to achieve the same output. So for the case of native bee pollination, a replacement is renting enough honeybees to pollinate your crops. Second method that's been widely used is called the production dependency method. This just means, well, the value would be the loss in production that would occur if your service were absent. So again, in the case of pollination, that would be based on the value of crop production for plants that require pollination, because if you lost your pollination, you'd lose the value of those crops. So both of these methods are flawed for reasons that I'll specify more later, but the basic approach taken in the literature so far has been to use replacement value as a lower bound on the true value of pollination, and production dependency, which gives much bigger numbers, as an upper bound. So in the numbers I'm about to present, I base these numbers on my data, which again were collected in this red box area. The values, though, are extrapolated to entire states just because that's the scale at which I could get agricultural statistics, so therefore the states of New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So this first method, replacement value, here VNB is just the value of native bee pollination. You can calculate the replacement value for that as number of hectares of watermelon crop times the number of honeybee hives per hectare, just the standard stocking rate, times the dollars per hive that it takes to rent those hives. And there's some variation in dollars per hive depending on things like how many hives you're renting. So I end up with a range there of $0.2 to $0.25 million per year is the replacement value. But there's some problems with this method. One is it assumes that honeybees are available, whereas a large part of the value of native bee pollination may actually be its insurance value, meaning if we lost honeybees next year due to colony collapse or something else, native bees could fill in some of that gap, and that value is not captured here. And this method also doesn't include price increases. If honeybees continue to have health problems, the price of colony rental is probably going to go up, as it's been going up recently. So the second method is called production dependency. And it's basically this equation here. So here the value of native bees is equal to the value of watermelon production, which is just that V there. And that's just the total money that farmers get when they sell their watermelon each year, times the dependency of that crop on insect pollination, which in the case of watermelon, that's just one, because watermelon has unisexual flowers and it doesn't set any fruit at all without insect pollination, times the proportion of pollen deposition that is done by native bees. And this is something that I can get from my data and simulation. So that number is $3.85 million per year, which is obviously a lot more than the replacement value would estimate. And you can do that same calculation for honeybee pollination, and that's $2.36 million per year. So this is good in that it captures insurance value to some extent, in that if we lost honeybees, we'd still have that $3.85 million. But there's some problems with it. One is it attributes the entire crop value to just one input. So you can sort of think of crop production as having many links in a chain. You need to purchase seeds and pay rent on land and fertilize and water. And all those things add up and end up giving you the value of your crop. But here we're attributing that whole value to just one of many inputs, which is the pollination input. So it's sort of a double counting going on. Another problem is it doesn't actually relate pollination to fruit production, because it doesn't consider the pollination threshold of the plant. So the method that Brian and I developed, we call the utilized pollination method. And this is basically an improvement on production dependency that can account for some of these additional factors. So we first account for the cost of inputs to production by subtracting the cost of these other inputs. That ameliorates the problem of double counting. And it values only the pollination that would actually be utilized in fruit production. So there are two ways it does that. One is it considers what pollination is needed for fruit set in terms of the pollination requirements of the plant. And then it also considers the pollination that is being done by some other taxon, whether you have that other taxon or honeybees or native bees, whichever way you want to look at it. So there are two ways to do these utilized pollination calculations. That depends on whether you want to consider the pollinator that you're interested in as the first taxon to be there, so that you value everything it does, or whether you want it to consider it to be the second taxon, so that you only value what it does in addition to some other pollinator that is already there. To me, it makes more sense to do this considering native bees to be the first taxon, because they are already there. I mean, they're out there in the ecosystem. You know, whether farmers know about it or like it or not, they're there. And then farmers have the choice to either rent honeybees in addition to that or not. But you can really do it either way, and I do it both ways. So here we have the equation that we use. So again, VNB is a value of pollination by native bees. Now we're subtracting the costs, the summed costs of other inputs from the value of the crop. These things are all the same. We now use fraction of flowers that are fully pollinated by native bees in this equation, which again comes from the data and simulation. So there's another important thing to consider when you're talking about crop production is it really occurs at the field scale. So like many plants, watermelon produces more flowers than it can really set into fruit. In fact, fruit production asymptotes when about 50% of the flowers are fully pollinated. So what I'm just going to show you visually here is this last term, this minimum of these two terms. Rather than go through the math, I'll just show you visually what that means. So you have two cases. Either native bees could pollinate more than half the flowers fully, in which case they're fully pollinating the whole field and the whole value of the crop is attributed to them, or they can do less than that, in which case only the fraction of those flowers needing pollination that native bees pollinate is attributed to them. So these numbers end up being a lot less. They're 1.01 million for native bees and 0.91 million for honeybees. So if you consider it the other way, so you sort of take out another taxon first, we have a somewhat more complicated equation with this stuff on the end that is a minimum of two things, and then you can also choose from a maximum of two things. Again, I'll just show you graphically what that actually means. So we have the same situation. There are now three options when you're considering two different taxas. So again, valuing native bee pollination, one case would be that honeybees fully pollinate the crop. So in this case, the value of native bee pollination is zero because it's already been done by someone else. Another case is honeybees pollinate some, but they don't fully pollinate. In this case, we value native bee pollination as just that difference. And lastly, you could have a case like this where native bee pollination is not completely making up the difference, but it's still worth something, and that corresponds to those three options. So these values are 0.17 million and 0.07 million. So to sum up the value of native bee pollination, the dark blue columns here are the existing methods, production dependency and replacement value, which are very widely variable. And the utilized pollination in lighter blue is what we calculated with our new method. The point here isn't the actual numbers on any of this, because that's arbitrary. It depends on what crop and what geographic region you're talking about. But the point is that utilized pollination, which is more accurate, I believe, is only sort of 12 to 26% of production dependency, which is what has been most widely used in the literature. So to conclude, I think we need realistic estimates of ecosystem value if science is to be considered credible in the public policy realm. And I think we're now approaching a better producer side value of pollination. And hopefully this can lead to better land use planning decisions by taking ecosystem services into account. Thank you. Okay, we have time for only one fast question. Yes.
What's the field loss if you don't have bees in those fields?
You mean no honeybees or no bees at all?
No honeybees.
Well, actually, in this study, I had one farmer who tried that experiment. I don't recommend that, you know, because I had told him, your farm is completely pollinated by native bees. You don't need honeybees. He said, should I get rid of my honeybees? And I usually say, well, not really, because native bees can be variable. You know, that's a big risk. He did it anyway, and his production didn't change at all. So I have a sample size of one. That worked. Thank you.